Good health is only a phone call away. What are you waiting for? Don't miss your opportunity to get a free month's supply of Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code USA.
The state of Florida is still dealing with infrastructure problems with getting power back on, but it's getting there. Here's Chris Barnes.
The number of homes and businesses that were left without electricity by Irma at their peak numbered about 6 million. That's now down to 2.1 million, still 20% of Florida's utility customers. And some still without power may have to wait another week to get it back.
This is now the hard part.
That's Energy Secretary Rick Perry speaking at a Friday morning news conference.
This is going to be a long recovery.
I'm Chris Barnes.
Authorities in Richmond, Virginia are gearing up for a rally and counter-protest at the Robert E. Lee Monument. The new Confederate States of America is organizing what it calls a heritage, not hate rally at the Robert E. Lee Monument tomorrow. Spokesman Tom Compton says his group doesn't associate with white supremacy, therefore preserving the monuments and not for getting into a racial fight. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Police now say a pregnant teacher who was found murdered on Wednesday was killed as part of a love triangle.
During a bond hearing Thursday in Montgomery County District Court, prosecutors laid out their claims that Tyler Tessier was engaged to another woman but was dating Laura Wallen at the same time. Both women knew about each other, and that's what prosecutors say drove Tessier to kill Wallen, who was a teacher at Columbia's Wild Lake High School. Her body was discovered Wednesday, more than a week after she went missing. She was 4 months pregnant, and prosecutors say they also have text messages about the baby from Tessier, who is being held without bond.
She's called the Chainsaw Nun, and she's hoping to be an inspiration to all people. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
And now known as the Chainsaw Nun, she hopes her viral video can help dispel stereotypes about nuns. Sister Margaret Ann, the principal of a Catholic high school near Miami, captured on video in her full nun's habit, cutting up down trees right after Hurricane Irma. The sister said nuns are not just sitting back praying and begging for money all the time, but rather working, quote, elbow to elbow with our people. I'm Chris Barnes.
ESPN disputing a new report saying the network tried to take SportsCenter host Jemele Hill off the air after she said President Trump was a white supremacist. The White House responded Wednesday, calling the comments a fireable offense. ESPN denies they reached out to two black commentators to replace Hill. USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
And now, it's the news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. A fun show this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. We have guest Jeremy Renner on the program. He of the Avengers movies. Stay tuned for that. But first, some of the strange news of the week. Meet Harvey and Irma. No, not the Hurricanes. Harvey and Irma Schluter of Washington State. They've been married for 75 years now, and they're wondering how it came to be that two major hurricanes bearing their names are set to strike the U.S. back-to-back. The New York Times reports 104-year-old Harvey married 92-year-old Irma in 1942. The World Meteorological Organization alternates men's and women's names in alphabetical order for Atlantic storms. But since these two have caused widespread damage, that would be the storms, not the couple, they are almost certain to be retired. You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. We're speaking today with William Fowler, Jr. He's the author of Steam Titans, Kennard, Collins, and the Epic Battle for Commerce on the North Atlantic. Mr. Fowler, welcome to Now It's the News. Thank you so much for being here.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
So the struggle that we're talking about here, the fight over trade seems far removed from our world today, although if you think about it, the global shipping, global trade is still very key to the world economy, but back then it existed in a much different form. Set the scene for us on the North Atlantic, if you could.
Well, in 1815, the War of 1812 ended. And for the next nearly 100 years, Derek, down until the beginning of World War I, the North Atlantic was more or less at peace. Now, it's true there was the American Civil War, to be sure, but that was not a war that interrupted much in much way the trade of the North Atlantic. So it was in this 100 years that phenomenal changes took place. Technology, steam, the steam power that had been so important on land went to sea on ships. This was the time when 30 million people crossed the Atlantic to come to the United States and to Canada. This was the time when those two great nations were expanding rapidly, America going across a continent. So it was a phenomenal century. And really at the heart of this, and one of the most important contributing factors, was the improvement of transportation and communication across the Atlantic between Europe and the Western Hemisphere.
So who were Samuel Kennard and Edward Knight Collins, and how did they get into it? Kennard certainly rings a bell for anyone who has followed the disaster of the Titanic. The Titanic was a Kennard line ship.
So it was actually the Titanic was a White Star line.
I'm sorry. You're absolutely right about that. But I'm wondering, why does that resonate in my head? Because I associate it with that, perhaps.
Well, because at the time of the Titanic sinking, the two great British competitors were the White Star Line and the Cunard Line. And it's not uncommon for people to confuse them. And, in fact, in the 1930s, the two lines combined into what became known as Cunard-White Star. So it's not uncommon to associate the two very closely together.
Well, thank you for correcting me on that. So who was Samuel? Who was Samuel Kennard, and who was his rival, Edward Collins?
Well, Samuel Kennard was a fascinating man. He actually is the son of Abraham Kennard. And Abraham Kennard was an American loyalist, one of those many, many thousands of people who fled America during the time of the American Revolution. And Abraham went to Halifax, Nova Scotia, and there in Halifax married a woman, another loyalist refugee from South Carolina. And so Samuel Kennard was born in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And his father was in the shipping business, and Samuel inherited his father's business. Very astute man. And Samuel Kennard recognized the importance of the developing technology of steam.
And if that were happening, then Nabisco would not move its cookie manufacturing from Chicago to Mexico, and Carrier would not move its air conditioning manufacturing to Mexico.
We're speaking with Jim Stuber. You gave a couple of resources earlier on for consumers to do just that sort of thing, to be able to do that research better. What were those again? I'd love to repeat those for the audience.
Yeah, I'm glad to. So first of all, there's, of course, my book, which is What If Things Were Made in America Again? It's available on Amazon and on themadeinamericabook.com. That's the website for my book, and there's more information about it there. And then in the book, I mention a couple of good resources that I'm happy to point out. Roger Simmermaker, S-I-M-M-E-R-M-A-K-E-R, has written How Americans Can Buy American, and Bruce Wolk, W-O-L-K, has written Made Here, comma, Baby, exclamation point. And this is the essential guide to finding the best American-made products for your kids. These are two good resources. And then, as I say, also, I spend a chapter in my book explaining about how you can buy an American car, and if you're not in the market for a car, well, at least how you can buy a set of American-made tires. There's a list there of the factories that are making tires here, and it, all it takes is just a moment to say to your auto place, look, I want to make sure these tires come from one of the American factories. Could you be sure and do that?
Well, fantastic. And knowledge is power, and hopefully we can use that power to repower American manufacturing. Jim Stuber, again, he's the author of What If Things Were Made in America Again. Thank you so much for being with us on Now It's the News.
Great pleasure being with you.
All the best. Thank you.
Thanks. Take care.
For more information on Now It's the News, go to nowitsthenews.com.
Mike Hewitt here with a minute of common sense. Lots of folks, for the first time in generations, fear their children's future will be less. Maybe that's true, but it doesn't have to be. The American family is under assault. We're told this is about lifestyle choices. Nonsense. Last year, 48% of all the births were to unwed mothers. Not all single-parent families are bad, but such overwhelming numbers offer predictable results. We must save the American family and return education to local control. Teach your sons to be honorable men and your daughters to respect the women they'll become. Teach them to be smart, to think forward, to understand that some decisions cannot be undone, that the best decisions usually require the most work, and about the gifts of marriage, the result of effort and of being true. These things rather than the excitement of marriage and the ease of divorce. Folks, it's just common sense. If we don't save the American family, nothing else we say or do will matter. For more common sense, visit themikehewittshow.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
The news.
You're listening to Now It's the News. I'm Derek Blair. Well, we have a very significant anniversary this week, 9/11, as we remember each year, and there are many stories of heroism around that event. One of them that is not often heard, we are going to speak about today. We're talking with Jessica DeLong. She is the author of Dust to Deliverance. It's about the maritime evacuation of Manhattan during 9/11. Jessica, thank you so much for being with us today.
Such a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
What were you doing on September 11th, 2001, and what took place with regard to the boats that were in New York Harbor?
Well, for me, I was like so many other people that morning. I was pretty far removed from what was going on in Lower Manhattan. I was in Brooklyn, and I was watching everything unfold on television, and then did what so many other people did, wandered around wondering how it might be possible for me to be of some assistance, trying to donate blood, you know, like so many other people, just wanting to help and not knowing how. Meanwhile, the maritime community in New York Harbor just jumped into action immediately. Really, everything started right after the first plane hit, even before we realized that this was not, in fact, an accident, because the first thought of New York Waterway ferry captains, for example, was that if there's an accident or any sort of problem at the World Trade Center, then that means that that's going to inhibit other transportation options. So they realized that they were going to have to keep their ferry service running longer. Of course, we realized quite quickly that this was not an accident, that this, in fact, was this cascade of catastrophe that made conditions down in Lower Manhattan increasingly worse by the second. And what started out as an expanded ferry operation became a complete full-scale rescue by boat. And this boat lift was unprecedented. The largest maritime evacuation in history prior to September 11th had been the evacuation at Dunkirk, where 338,000 individuals were evacuated by boat. And here what we had was a completely spontaneous, totally unplanned, unlike what happened at Dunkirk, rescue that involved tugboats, ferry boats, dinner boats, all sorts of vessels that some of which are used to carrying passengers, but many of which don't. And they all converged spontaneously to do this improvised makeshift evacuation that delivered nearly 500,000 people off of Manhattan Island in less than 9 hours.
It's amazing to think about the scale of this, especially given how spontaneous it was. You say it started as expanded ferry service once the first plane hit the first tower. Explain how it expanded from there. I mean, was it just a matter of picking up folks from different boats at the ferry terminals? Were they just landing at different areas? How did that take place, and how did people find out that's what needed to happen in terms of the boat captains and so forth?
Well, I think, first off, the mariners, crews, and captains on the water, they had a unique view of what was unfolding. So people who were further away could actually, and this I heard reported over and over again by my sources who were caught in the collapse of the towers, among other things, who talked about how the closer you were to the disaster, the less you knew, which is something that people have said over and over again. So the river view gave some perspective to some captains at different points during the day, but quickly it was far beyond an expanded ferry service. Certainly the ferry slips worked. The captains pulled in and out of the same slips that they use every day. And fortunately, they had a lot of experience with all of the over and back dockings because they had to do this blind. When the towers came down, the dust conditions were so profound down there that the radar didn't actually even work because the particulate in the air was so thick that it defied the radar. So these captains were operating blind. But far greater than just the ferry service, you had tugboats coming in from Staten Island, quite removed from the situation, and making the choice to get in their boats and head straight for hell, basically. And what we kind of forget all these years later is that hindsight's 2020, and at the time we did not know whether or not this was the end of the attacks. There were still unaccounted for planes. There were still rumors broadcast over the radio about bombings in different places. And so, despite all of the potential for additional attack and additional devastation, these mariners just knew that they had boats and could come to the rescue. There were untold numbers of water rescues, people who were caught in dust that was so severe, and dust, it doesn't really describe it. I mean, you're talking about huge buildings coming down on people, and they jumped in the water seeking safety, not realizing that the currents down there are really, really devastating.
We're speaking with Jessica DeLong. She's the author of Dust to Deliverance, and it's about the maritime evacuation of Lower Manhattan during 9/11. How many accidents, as far as we know, took place? Because, as you say, in an environment like that where hardly anybody could see each other, I imagine some boats ran into one another. I mean, it sounds somewhat chaotic. How did it proceed, and how efficient was it?
It was remarkably successful and efficient, with very, very few instances of any kind of trouble. I mean, it absolutely makes sense that that's what we would assume, because these mariners are not technically first responders. They're very highly trained. They displayed such professionalism and turned what could have been a chaotic disaster into a model of efficiency and effectiveness. They brought all of their skills, as I said, the water rescues that they practice every month. They just clicked into that mode and got it done. And they knew their boats, even boats that overloaded beyond capacity, because people were stacked 9 deep along the seawall against the railings and clamoring to get onto the boats, even when. And one captain who was trying to do a water rescue, and he got close enough to the shoreline that people just started jumping onto his boat. So, and all of this is the horror of the story, but really the most important thing, the thing that I think is so important to remember this day, is that this was an incredible display of kindness and solidarity and resourcefulness. And really what mariners brought was this sense of community and the sense of, we're just going to get this done. And that is the human goodness that rises up in the face of darkness and calamity. That is the thing that I think we need to remember today, that really when we are provided the opportunity, and sometimes that's because bad things happen, this is a reflexive human compulsion to aid others. This is who we are. That is reassuring, and it's especially reassuring when we take into account the fact that the infrastructure, basically the way that our infrastructure works, by and large, the private sector is controlling 85% of our infrastructure. And so the first responders are most often civilians. This is the reality in this country. And so I find it really reassuring and inspiring that that neighbors help each other, and that when situations are as difficult as they have been in Houston and beyond, that people are at their core good and helping their neighbors. That's what we're seeing.
We're speaking with Jessica DeLong. She's the author of Dust to Deliverance. We've seen this year Dunkirk and the story told, and I think quite well, on the big screen. Do you think that we'll ever have a chance to see this story play out in a similar way?
Oh, I think this story is so striking visually. One of the things that I was really pleased with about the book that I wrote, Dust to Deliverance, which is available on Amazon and local booksellers throughout the country, is that the publisher really went out to include a 16-page full-color insert of photographs and maps that really help paint the picture in a vivid way of the story that unfolded. It's such a cinematic story, and I think we really need these stories of of everyday people finding their own hero within them. That's the story that we need to hear more of, I think. I hope some Hollywood producers are listening and hearing your thoughts, because I think it's a story that really merits the telling.
Well, thank you for telling it in the way that you have. It's something that I think people need to hear, and unfortunately, I think it's something that we'll revisit in the future in terms of similarity. Obviously, that's been the case even just recently. Jessica DuLong, the author of Dust to Deliverance, please check it out. It's a fascinating and important story. Thanks so much for being with us today on Now It's the News.
I really, really appreciate you providing the space to tell this story about hope and resilience and goodness. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. All the best. You have a wonderful day.
You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
That's all the time we have this week on Now It's the News. Now It's the News was created and produced by Derek Blair and Godric Rocklin. For more information, go to Twitter, at Now It's the News. And until next week, I remain yours truly, Derek Blair.
Konica, the German shepherd that I rescued, was stinky, skinny, and scrawny, full of skin rashes and scratching. And I started feeding Konica Dynavite, and he became such a happier, itch-free, stink-free dog. I dug deeper into the website.
DINOVITE.com.
What if in addition to Dynavite, we do the raw beef and the egg diet and see what happens? Forget all these 50-pound bags, the formulated, extruded, processed cereal bits that cost a ton of money anyways. This dog's as close to a wolf as you can get. They're carnivores. With just the raw meat and the eggs and the Dynavite and Super Omega on top of it, it just balances out his body and his mind and his spirit. It's unbelievable. Hey, if you're thinking about rescuing a dog, you got to start him out on Dynavite. DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
The police and security services are obviously doing all the work to discover the full circumstances of this cowardly attack and to identify those responsible.
British Prime Minister Theresa May talking about today's Islamic terrorist attack at London's Parsons Green station that have left 22 people injured. An explosion took place on a tube train. Several were injured in the following stampede. President Trump called the terrorists losers and said leaders around the world need to get tougher on terrorism. Supporters of a criminal who shot at police officers before he was shot himself protesting in the streets of St. Louis. Former police officer Jason Stockley was acquitted on charges that he killed Anthony Smith in 2011 after Smith led police on a high-speed chase and then shot at officers after he crashed his vehicle. Shockley had been facing first-degree murder charges. The judge said prosecution didn't prove their case. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I had some ulcer issues on my leg that I had from Vietnam. It would erupt on occasion of periods of stress. When I was taking juices, these ulcers had disappeared, but I was not able to get good quality fruits and vegetables to make good juices. And, you know, these ulcers came back. But since I've been taking the fruit and the veggie capsules, these ulcers again have subsided.
Good health is only a phone call away. What are you waiting for? Don't miss your opportunity to get a free month's supply of Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code USA.
The state of Florida is still dealing with infrastructure problems with getting power back on, but it's getting there. Here's Chris Barnes.
The number of homes and businesses that were left without electricity by Irma at their peak numbered about 6 million. That's now down to 2.1 million, still 20% of Florida's utility customers. And some still without power may have to wait another week to get it back.
This is now the hard part.
That's Energy Secretary Rick Perry speaking at a Friday morning news conference.
This is going to be a long recovery.
I'm Chris Barnes.
Authorities in Richmond, Virginia are gearing up for a rally and counter-protest at the Robert E. Lee Monument. The new Confederate States of America is organizing what it calls a heritage, not hate rally at the Robert E. Lee Monument tomorrow. Spokesman Tom Compton says his group doesn't associate with white supremacy, therefore preserving the monuments and not for getting into a racial fight. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
Police now say a pregnant teacher who was found murdered on Wednesday was killed as part of a love triangle.
During a bond hearing Thursday in Montgomery County District Court, prosecutors laid out their claims that Tyler Tessier was engaged to another woman but was dating Laura Wallen at the same time. Both women knew about each other, and that's what prosecutors say drove Tessier to kill Wallen, who was a teacher at Columbia's Wild Lake High School. Her body was discovered Wednesday, more than a week after she went missing. She was 4 months pregnant, and prosecutors say they also have text messages about the baby from Tessier, who is being held without bond.
She's called the Chainsaw Nun, and she's hoping to be an inspiration to all people. Here's correspondent Chris Barnes.
And now known as the Chainsaw Nun, she hopes...
Lions, and see how they're doing, how they're faring. Now, lastly, for those people, athletes, coaches, to learn more about the athletic department, either if they happen to be students or if they're potentially looking at RVCC, what would they do?
Well, you can visit our website. Of course, you can always call our office, but visit our website. You can shoot me an email or any one of our coaches an email directly. But also on the website, we have a tab for a recruit questionnaire. So if you're a local student or parent and you want to find out more, you can fill out the questionnaire for your appropriate sport. And then we will certainly have our coaches get in touch with you and bring you to campus and talk to you about what we can offer.
Yep. Excellent. Well, again, Amanda, I always love having you on because the way I look at it this way is that you can have an organization like RVCC that works on the direct product that they're focused on. They can look at their academics. But you get the real breadth of the strength of an organization by learning what they do away from those particular strategic functions. And when you start to hear about all the cool things that the athletic department's doing to enhance the experience there and make the whole thing a community, that's where the surprise comes. That's where the aha moment comes. And I think that's the reason that when you have those visiting folks coming on by, they give that aha moment and they go, this is a jewel over here in Hunter and in Somerset counties. So it's always a surprise to have you on. It's always great to hear about all the great things that are going on because it's the student total immersion in this program that I think is really the opportunity that students who go to that school are really enjoying. So thanks so much to you for 5 years of, like, sounds like a great program and so many other things that are going on.
Thanks for having me, and I look forward to coming back.
All right, we got her. We got her for another year, Donna. Thank you. All right. That is Amanda DiMartino. She is the director of athletics over at RVCC. Go and check it out. Vince Arlino says, never see I should have. If you are a student athlete looking for a place to go, and maybe you fit the niche of academics and a little bit of athletics over there at RVCC, speak to Amanda and learn more about it. It's a weekend coming up. We got some rain coming tonight. Please be prepared for that. Thank you to Michelle, and thank you to Mike and Amanda for making the contribution to the show. I'm going to take a break. We're going to go on to the weekend. You've been listening to Good Morning 100 and 100.com. We're off Monday. I'll be back Tuesday. Thanks for listening.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Ron Taylor.
Trump in particular seemed to have his best debate so far.
A political expert says one candidate in particular seemed to win last night's Republican presidential debate. Dr. Sean Forman from Barry University says Donald Trump has really tapped into the mantle of anger. Forman says Trump's support is going to continue to grow as the campaign goes on. Republican presidential hopeful Ted Cruz insists he is a natural-born citizen of the U.S., even though he was born in Canada. The Texas senator told a Fox Business News debate last night that his mother is an American citizen, making him a citizen. Cruz chided Donald Trump for even raising the birther issue. It turns out the story about the California nurse who won hundreds of millions of dollars in Wednesday's Powerball was a prank. Media outlets reported that a 62-year-old woman who worked at a nursing home in Pomona was one of three winners of the $1.6 billion jackpot. Relatives of the woman said yesterday that it was all a prank put on by the woman's son. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Ah, the beginning of a new year. Started off right during Rite Aid's 2016 Starting Points. Because every week through January 23rd, you can ring in the values. With 1,000 Plenty Points worth $10 in savings when you spend $30 on participating products with your Wellness Plus with Plenty card. That adds up to big savings every week for the entire month. But only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Worth at least $10. Limit 2 offers per card per week. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
Welcome to Staples.
Hey, Staples guy, my office goes through ink like it's water.
Staples can help. We have the ink you need, and with our 110% price match guarantee, Staples always has low prices.
So we could go through ink like water.
I wouldn't.
We could bathe in the stuff.
That'd just be weird.
Yeah.
Staples, make more happen. And right now, buy any HB ink cartridge and get the second half off.
Limit 2 per customer ends 1/16/16. Price match plus the 10% difference discount valid at checkout for items from retailers operating online and retail stores or products sold and shipped by Amazon. Ends 3/26/16. See store or staples.com for details.
The moment last night's debate ended, the spin began. USA senior correspondent Jason Wirt has some debate reactions.
Chelsea Henry is one of the youngest members of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network and a commentator on Republicans and the black community. She attended the Republican debate in South Carolina, and her choice for the winner was a bit of a surprise to many.
I think Jeb Bush won. He won in performance, but more importantly, he won in substance. I enjoyed the fact that he was able to come to a great balance between, again, the performance aspect of the debate, but also leaving people with a better understanding of why he stands on certain issues.
Henry said her runner-up was Texas Senator Ted Cruz.
Dozens of Kenyan troops in an attack on an African Union base in southwestern Somalia. Al-Shabaab military spokesman Abdi Adiz Abu Mudan told the group's online radio that at least...
That's low.
Well, Staples has everyday low prices on the office items you use most.
How do you know what my office uses most?
We have low prices on pens, coffee, pencils, tech products, ink, and paper.
You do know what we use most. You're like a psychic.
Well, that's just what I see in your cart.
Oh, right.
Go to Staples for everyday low prices, plus special deals for even more...
Carolina courtroom. USA's Tammy Rose reports.
Albert Taylor is accused of shooting a 17-year-old at a South Carolina bowling alley. Jamari Fair, Dennis Gibbs, and a 15-year-old are also facing murder charges, but none of that seemed to faze them.
What are these cameras for?
It's the news media.
His mother, just the other day, and she just getting the house and getting his room all straightened out, and then just 3 or 4 days later, this happened.
I'm Tammy Rose.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
How big is Rite Aid's Big Point event? Plenty big. The more participating products you buy with Wellness Plus with Plenty, the more Plenty points you earn through February 27th. Earn 2,000 points when you spend $100, another 1,500 when you get to $150, and yet another 1,500 at $200. That's up to 5,000 Plenty points worth at least $50 in savings. Only at Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Earning based on total purchases from 131 to 227.16. Limit 5,000 Plenty points per card. Plenty is a rewards program. Terms and conditions apply. See plenty.com/terms for details.
A diabetes drug could help lower the risk of recurring strokes and heart attacks. A trial done at Yale University finds that the drug sold as Actos decreased the number of cardiovascular incidents by nearly a quarter through a five-year span. A different study done in 2006 found the drug reduced risk for heart attacks and strokes, but not for those who had experienced one previously. People who undergo heart surgery or suffer a cardiac event are typically prescribed a cardiac rehabilitation program as part of their recovery process. Dr. Leslie Cho with the Cleveland Clinic says cardiac rehab is one of the best things the heart patients can do to improve their odds of survival, as well as their quality of life.
REACT is an exercise program. You exercise in a hospital with an exercise physiologist, with nurses and doctors, and we gradually build up your exercise capacity.
Cardiac rehab is a 12-week program that's suited to each person's functional capacity. Patients will typically exercise 3 days per week for about an hour each day, in addition to meeting with a nutritionist. And most cardiac rehab is paid for by insurance after you've had an event or a surgery. Dr. Cho says multiple studies have shown that folks who do cardiac rehab actually live longer, have fewer heart attacks, and less need for repeat hospitalization. And she urges people who don't think it's worth their time to give cardiac rehab a try.
It's really crucial because it's not just about exercise. It's about learning how to eat, learning to stop smoking, controlling your stress factors. It's really a crucial part of having a healthy life after your heart event.
I'm Ron Taylor, and this is USA Radio News.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good morning, Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Chamber Radio weather. Right now in Flemington, it's 26 degrees. Clear skies, calm winds, 10% chance of precipitation. Today is Friday, TGIF. It is February 19th, and we're going to have a mix of clouds and sun early, followed by cloudy skies this afternoon, a high near 40, wind southeast at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Cloudy and a low of 31 tonight, wind southeast at 5 to 10. And the next 2 days, buckle up, baby. This is sweet weather. Some clouds in the morning will give way to mainly sunny skies for the afternoon. A high will be 58, wind southwest at 10 to 15 miles an hour. Sunday, cloudy and a high of 55, winds west at 5 to 10. Monday, mainly sunny and a high of 47. Tuesday, partly cloudy early, followed by mostly cloudy skies and a few showers later in the day.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. The studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic, and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Pat Smits. It's the law. Sorry I'm a little bit late today. The blame is, of course, 31 coming south near the hospital because they really should have a right turn only into the hospital so everybody else doesn't jam up and try to go around. My biggest pet peeve, I think, with respect to traffic here in Hunterdon County, going north, they've expanded it to two lanes. It makes it much easier. But that bottleneck at the hospital, I think, would be actually would be much better if they just made a right turn lane at the hospital so everybody doesn't try to go around people that are going straight through or trying to go straight through. But in any event, hope you haven't listened to the weather, because if you did, that's not the weather that we can be expecting. In fact, it was really a shame. This afternoon was a beautiful day. So far, no rain, although there was a chance of rain today. I think it's really chance tonight, and it's starting to cloud up. But everybody who has graduations this weekend and first communions, it's really a shame because we do have a prediction for tomorrow, 100% heavy rain. And then into Sunday, by the way, Saturday night, about a 90% chance of rain. So even for Sunday, if it cleared up, it was going to be really soggy. But it's not going to probably clear up, although the better day is Sunday. There's about another 20% chance of showers. But the prediction does not look good for tomorrow. I was hoping it would hold off so everybody who's celebrating tomorrow could celebrate outside. Unfortunately, that's not the case. And let's hope that the weatherman is wrong. But, you know, this is always the day that they'll be right. So I'm Pat Smits, the program It's the Law. I'll be back to tell you what's happening in the legal world after a couple of spots from our sponsors.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Well, after that, let's have a better commercial. Don't need to be reminded every week, but I guess that's what happens, that we do get reminded about our weight. In any event, will most of us be eating lots and lots this weekend or next weekend with all the graduations and First Communions and other parties? And, of course, next week we'll have Memorial Day, too. I guess we better listen to this commercial now. But talking about some other commercials, let's spots from our sponsors. Let me bring you a couple others, and then we'll be back with the news.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
Well, okay, so what's happening in legal news? And he reminds me, of course, reminds most of us that as attorneys, we need to keep records for 7 years, and I actually keep them longer than that because it's not unusual for clients to call me back, you know, 10 and even 15 years later because something has come up, especially if they had young children when they divorce. And I don't understand why people don't keep their valuable records. I mean, people will call me and they didn't keep the judgment of divorce, they didn't keep the property settlement agreement, they didn't keep their financial information, and they have to hope that 10 years later or more that I have it. And since I'm such a pack rat, I usually do keep things, not just because I'm a pack rat, but because so often these things come up. But in any event, what's happening in legal news? Well, a New Jersey appellate court declined to disturb a $1.1 million judgment against a bankrupt Montclair abortion clinic owner who allegedly fired three employees after they became pregnant. That's rather ironic. The problem is, will they ever be able to collect in light of the fact that the owner filed bankruptcy? So that's always, that's always an issue. Sometimes you hear people having, getting million-dollar judgments, but the real issue is, can they collect it? There's an accusation about a judge in New Jersey, a lawsuit over time spent caring for his disabled son. He claimed he was harassed over the amount of time he spent caring for his handicapped son, and he filed an amended complaint after being excluded from a law day observance. I don't really know more about that. I don't know where the judge is from, but it shows that, you know, anyone can sue, even judges. Now, there's an opinion from last year approving a case where someone was served by Facebook, and this was made, it's actually made waves more recently, as an attorney in the case brought it to light, and this case was approved for publication by the state. So as I've talked to people before, any cases that are decided, if they're approved for publication, it means it's precedent setting. If it's not approved for publication, if it's just one judge's opinion, other judges do not have to follow it. Even appellate cases where there's an opinion by an appellate panel, if it's not published, the trial courts do not have to follow. And, of course, if it is published, the trial courts have to follow other published opinions unless they're trial judge opinions. And this is very significant. Actually, there should be more published opinions, in my humble opinion, because many of the unpublished opinions really are their decisions on pretty critical issues. And I think that sometimes the court, whoever approves publications, they don't think that they're that significant. But most of these issues come up in other cases. So, there's a discussion about direct examination in trials. And, according to this blurb, it's one of the few points of the trial that trial counsel is least able to control. So that's why, rather than embracing direct examination as an opportunity to have the witness discuss her story with the jury, most direct examinations are, forced, death march of testimony, people have said, and, it's really uncomfortable, and, everybody is concerned about the witness saying something that he or she shouldn't say. But it's really important for the trier of fact and a jury, if they're the trier of fact, to hear the story. So as probably many people who have listened to this program have heard, is that the consumer giant Johnson & Johnson has been hit with four jury verdicts totaling about $300 million in cases linking its popular baby powder to ovarian cancer. And then with each defeat, its attorneys have pledged the fight is not over. So this is the baby powder has been found to, there's been a link to ovarian cancer. So interesting, case, and how could anything as benign as baby powder create problems? But that is, you know, these cases Johnson & Johnson have been losing. Now, there was a criminal law case published. This is from the Supreme Court, and this is the opinion was written by Justice Rabner, and so it's State versus Habib Robinson. And in this case, both the trial court and the appellate division directed the state of New Jersey to disclose the statements of two eyewitnesses, photos used in identification process, any incident report of the crime prepared by the police, and a surveillance video. And this was all done under a court rule, which records and photos, but not the video. Now, in this case, the Supreme Court also clarifies and reframes the rule to help ensure that it strikes the proper balance between two important concerns. And this is very important in our criminal law. And one is, of course, the defendant's liberty interest, and the other is the state's ability to seek to detain high-risk defendants before trial. So that is, you know, that is for criminal attorneys, and I guess criminals, that opinion will be significant. For most of the rest of the, you know, people, it, you know, doesn't have any significance. There's another family law case in the appellate division, and this is from a case, BC versus the Division of Protection and Permanency, DCPNP, which was the former DIFS, DYFS. It's funny how quickly we forget the acronyms. But in this case, it was in the context of a grandparent visitation appeal, and the appellate division discussed the interplay between the abuse and neglect docket and the non-dissolution docket. What most people don't understand in New Jersey is that although we have a family part, that is a family court that handles all of the various types of cases, there are, in fact, different types of cases. And an FN case, so if you see a docket number that starts FN, that is a case that's brought under either abuse or neglect. And there may be exceptions, but I've always seen that DCPNP are involved in those cases. Now, the FD docket is a non-dissolution docket. And cases where, for example, people have children together but are not married, those cases are brought under the FD case, FD. However, I've seen more recently that someone who's married will bring a support action under an FD because they're not seeking a divorce. If it's a divorce case, either pending or a divorce case that it's post-judgment, but post-divorce judgment, those cases are brought under the FM docket. And in small counties like ours, in Hunterdon, one judge will handle all of the various dockets. One day, Judge Wilson will be doing divorce cases. The next, he might be doing dissolution, the non-dissolution calendar. And on a third day, he would be doing the domestic violence cases, or perhaps the DIFAS or the DCPNP cases under the FN. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, our judges are so overworked, because not only do they have to be familiar with the law in all of these areas, many of them, you know, these are very serious cases. Termination of parental rights, of course, comes under the FN docket. But in this case, there were two cases. There was an FN abuse and neglect docket and an FD non-dissolution docket. So the appellate court in this case dismissed the FD grandparent visitation complaint and directed that the court hear that in conjunction with the ongoing neglect matter and under the FN, so that one judge would hear both cases. And the appellate division also directed reconsideration of the judge's order under the FN docket banning contact between the grandfather